Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
But I do have some stuff to share with you on Sunday, and I'm pumped about it. Matthew 17 is where we're going tonight. If you'd stand for the word, I'm going to just preach a message, getting us ready for prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus said, I love this rebuke. I'm just going to say again, I've said it before, but aren't you glad you didn't live in Bible days and your stories are not recorded in the Bible? Because it just tells it like it is. And your disciples, you know, I brought him to them, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." I don't think he's talking to this dad. I think he's talking to his disciples. So they're like, you know, "We forsook all and followed you." And he's like, "You worthless, faithless, perverts." You know, like, what is wrong with y'all? Perverse generation. How long do I have to deal with you? And Jesus, basically, he says, you know, bring him here to me. After rebuking his disciples, Jesus rebuked the demon. It sounds like he was nicer to the demon, you know, because it doesn't tell us what he said. I doubt if he looked at the demon and said, "You faithless, perverse, you know, how long do I have to deal with?" He just rebuked the demon. And it came out of him. And the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. See, I didn't want to get, they were tired of this public humiliation. Privately, and they said, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. I'm telling you," the word "assuredly" is like a strong word. It's like, I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying this to you. If you have faith as a mustard seed, tiny, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there." And that big old mountain's going to move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Verse 21. "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Why the Devil Doesn't Want You to Pray and Fast." Why the devil doesn't want you to pray and fast. Let's say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Speak through our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Whether we like it or not, regardless if we're ready or not, 2024 is here. And we have committed this first part of the new year to seeking God by the means of prayer and fasting. But the question is, why? Why pray? Why fast? Why spend the time? Why go to the effort? I think the answer is found in the story we just read. This kind, the Greek is genos, this type, this family, this type of demon, this family of demons does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are different kinds, types, families of demons, of evil. Some, from this text, can be successfully resisted without prayer and fasting. But there are certain kinds of evil that cannot be successfully resisted without prayer and fasting. Some evil requires us to pray and to fast if we are to prevail. Everyday, garden variety, run-of-the-mill evil does not require us to pray and fast in order to exercise dominion over it. But church, there is a devil on another level. Okay? Extraordinary evil that requires us to do some extraordinary things if we are going to exercise dominion over it. Some evil can only be expelled if we are prayed up and fasted up. Here's a great question. What if I told you that by the end of this month, in just a matter of weeks, you'd be able, in Jesus' name, to rebuke demons, command them to go, and they would obey you? And I'm talking about the woolly kind, you know, deeply embedded, the ones that have stubbornly burrowed themselves into lives and situations. The situation in our reading involved a child. We got to understand, the devil messes with our kids. And the devil sends the kind of demon to mess with kids that you can't just easily expel. He sends his brightest and his best to go after the next generation, the most intractable. He sends them after the most vulnerable. Think about it. We ought to be especially ticked off at the fact that he sends demons like that to mess with our children. And this father was freaking out for good reason. I mean, his kid is suffering from these fits and he is thrown into the fire. This boy's life is endangered because of these demons, and he's disappointed in Jesus' disciples because even though they had been somewhat successful at casting out demons, and we'll talk about that as we get into this further, they had already been successful at casting out demons to some extent, but they couldn't get this boy free. And what the father and the disciples were about to discover was a powerful truth, that they had not done what was required to get this boy set free from this wicked, wicked spirit. Again, let me ask you, what if a child afflicted by demons could be delivered because you skillfully wielded mountain-moving faith and took dominion that's required in that situation? What if that could happen? What would that little bit of sacrifice really mean to get that kind of result? Would it be worth it? I mean, to push the plate back, to put down the phone or the tablet, to turn off the TV, to spend some time in prayer and worship and praise before the Lord, it seems like such a small price to pay to get a child free from a demon like that. That kind of victory would be a motivating thing, right? To make us want to fast and to pray. That's what I think. By the same token, wouldn't that be a motivating factor for the devil to try to keep us from praying and fasting? The devil doesn't want you to pray and fast because he knows if you do, you're going to get the upper hand on some of his most insidious work. You'll end up extracting him from those places where he has ruthlessly burrowed himself, expelling him, sending him packing, because you've prayed up, you've fasted up, you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. We got to have it, y'all. You don't think that the devil's sending his brightest and best after the next generation? You got another thing coming. I'm going to be preaching a little bit about it on Sunday And I got to be honest, I'll go ahead and say it right now. There's some things I'm going to say on Sunday that the way that things have ramped up in the last several years, what I say on Sunday, I don't know how much longer that would be legal for me to say. Straight up Bible truth is going to become illegal in this great land in which we live. That's the way it's rolling right now. It's trending that way. And I'm telling you, the devil has pulled out all the stops coming after our kids. I've talked to some of y'all. I know about some of the situations that your kids are facing in school. Your kids are facing online. Your kids are facing not just amongst students, but in administration and philosophy of life. Stuff that is like, we never would have comprehended that in my day. I mean, I'm sharing my age, and some of you can relate. But on the other hand, this generation is just pounded with this agenda, and it's demonic. It's the best. It's convincing. It is powerful. And the only way we can really deal with it is, this is not garden variety stuff. This is mountain moving stuff, but some kind, they only come out by prayer and fasting. The one that's wielding that sword, the one that's exercising that faith, that mountain's not moving. Those disciples, they've cast out demons before. They have cast them out. We'll talk about it. But they can't get this one out of this boy. They weren't ready. I want to be ready. The devil doesn't want you to be ready. There are apostolic keys. Jesus gave, he gave these keys not only to Peter, but to the other apostles, to the church in general, to the body of Christ. They're called the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16, I say to you, you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I've talked about this. This is interesting. There's a vast difference between the keys to the bank and the keys of the bank. Keys to the bank get you in the bank. Keys of the bank can get you in anything in the bank. Get you in the safety deposit boxes. Get you in the vault. Get you in the president's office. Get you in anything in the bank. There's a vast difference. And here's the deal. We have the keys of the kingdom. Everything that's in the kingdom can be unlocked in faith by believers. Many of us are in the kingdom, but we've not accessed the power that belongs to us. The keys to this kind of power are found in prayer and in fasting. And I've talked to some of y'all too, and I it always amuses me. I talk to some people and they say, I love to fast. Now, I know what they mean. They mean I love the results I get when I fast. I love the presence of God that I feel when I'm fasting. I love the, it's an amazing feeling. But folks, I hate fasting because I love to eat. I could have entitled this, Why the Devil Wants You to Eat and Not Pray. Why the devil wants you to eat and watch TV? Why the devil wants you to eat and go through all the socials? Why the devil wants you to eat and just scroll through TikTok on your phone? That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to eat and eat. And boy, he succeeded on some of us in these holidays, didn't he? I mean, holy cow. And what's crazy is, let me just give you a heads up. If you start to fast and you're not used to fasting, beware of, I'm going to eat one last gigantic meal before I start fasting. Because what happens is you eat that gigantic meal, your stomach stretches, and then you're starving immediately. Like the next morning, you're starving. You wake up starving. If you'll gradually start cutting back, it'll prepare you for the ledge that you're about to drop off of. Can I get a witness in the congregation? And let me say this too. When you're coming off a long fast, do not do what you want to do. You're like, I'm going to Las Palmas and I'm getting fajitas and enchiladas and everything, because you won't make it out of Las Palmas. And you'll be locked away in the back for hours. Do not make that mistake. Can I get a witness? So it's best, trust me, it's best for you to gradually decrease, and then you can take that plunge. And then when you get done with the fast, but the devil doesn't want you to fast. The devil doesn't want you to pray. And you know what? He's okay with throwing you a bone. You can, you know, and we like cast out demons is so strange and so weird. We see that as being so radically supernatural and not in this world that we live in. It's kind of like in Bible days, but it doesn't happen here. Well, it does happen here. That realm is still just as powerful as ever. It hasn't let up. It's still around. It masks itself. It hides itself. And sometimes it manifests itself. But like exercising that kind of dominion, I just found that fascinating, that this kind of demon that Peter, James, John, listen, I've said it several times. Let me go ahead and show you this. Jesus had sent the 12 out and he had anointed them for demonstration. He sent the 12, these 12 guys. Then later he sent 70, including the 12, and some other guys. He sent these guys and he said, cast out demons, heal the sick. They were anointed to do that before what we just read. They had the anointing of the Christ. They were able to do what he did. When they came back to Jesus, he said, how'd it go, boys? They said, woo, even the demons were subject to your name, Lord. Woo. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to your name. Rejoice because your names are written down in glory, written down in heaven. And he was trying to give them some perspective, but they rejoiced. The devil was content to let them have their fun and take some dominion over, but this kind was dealing with children, dealing with the most vulnerable, dealing with the innocent, threatening their lives, taking away any normality in their life. We got a generation at risk right here and right now. And if we could just, if God could help us to see behind the curtain, and that's what prayer and fasting does too, it helps you see the reality behind the curtain. You can see who's back there doing and manipulating what's going on. We would understand there is a world of hurt back there. There's a world of the demonic that's back there that is pulling the levers and pulling the strings and manipulating the media and all these influences on our kids, and it's crippling them, and it's making them vulnerable and placing them in danger. And this kind, it only comes out by prayer and fasting. You're like, but I don't want to pray. I don't want to fast. Well, the devil's winning. He doesn't want you to pray and fast. You're in agreement with the devil. Now get it, our flesh doesn't want to pray and fast. But we have to rise up with that inner man, that born again self, and say, no, I will subject this body to fasting. I will take the pleasure of relaxing and watching television and zoning out, playing on my phone, going fishing. I will pull that back, and I will discipline myself and my flesh. I will seek the Lord. I will dig into his word. I will pray. I will push the plate back, and it is this surrendering, it is this dying of self. You know, hunger is pre-death. It's a little bit of death. You get enough of it, you'll die. It's dying to the flesh. What do we say? I am starving. You're really not, but it is. You do it long enough. And I don't care who you are. that 21-day fast, the Daniel fast, it sounds awesome because you get to eat like all 21 days. Oh, it is so hard. It is so hard. But when you're dying to self, and in so doing, your spirit is gaining the ascendancy over your sin nature, your carnal man, the flesh. Because the flesh is beyond skin, epidermis, thank you, and veins and bones, and it's beyond that. Flesh is that old self, that old nature that we have to exercise dominion. You know, it's a principle in the Old in the Old Testament that the elder will serve the younger. And your flesh was born first, and then you were born again. And so the elder is to serve the younger, that new self, that new you, that you that's created in the image and likeness of God, that new you that's created, Paul would say, in righteousness and true holiness. If you've been born again of water and spirit, you're a new creation, but you're housed in this body, and there's an old sinful nature that has that you still got to deal with, the residue. That'll be changed one day. I know people that they believe that they don't have that sinful nature, but I've hung out with them for, you know, hours on end, and I realized they did. Everybody's got that old sinful nature. No matter how many times you speak in tongues or you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you still got that sinful nature. You've got to deal with it. You know, our hope is that we go up front and we pray and we get delivered from the flesh. You're not going to get delivered from the flesh. You know, the old timers that I grew up around, they're like, if it's flesh, that's one thing. If it's a devil, that's another thing. If a devil is messing with somebody, you can cast a demon out. But if it's their flesh, ain't no casting out flesh. It's got to be disciplined. I wish I could say, I rebuke you, Donovan, in Jesus' name. You will not eat. And I wouldn't be hungry. But old Donovan gets hungry. And old Donovan wants to eat. And I have to deal with that process that I die daily, that moment by moment, like, no, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. And what I'm saying is, in so doing, we position ourselves for victories that can be gained by no other way. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross. But that doesn't mean that there's not demons, evil spirits, wickedness. You know, Paul would say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I thought Jesus beat the principalities. Why would Paul still be dealing with principalities and wicked spirits in high places and all that kind of stuff that he mentions in Ephesians? Why would he be dealing with those if Jesus defeated the principalities? Because they're still in this earth realm and their fate is sealed, but it hasn't manifested yet. In the same way that you don't have a glorified body and I don't have a glory. Am I too deep in the weeds? Are you with me? In the same way that I don't have a glorified body, and I can be healed and I can be healed, but eventually I'm going to die. You're going to die. Praise the Lord. It's going to happen unless the rapture takes place first and we're changed. But that is for a specific moment, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That change hasn't shifted. This world system is still in place. Now, it is coming to an end. There is a great eviction that is on the horizon, coming closer and sooner than we know. But in the meantime, it is up to the body of Christ to walk and move as the body of Christ did 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the one that said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. If he anointed the 12 prior to Pentecost and the 70 prior to Pentecost to do that kind of ministry, then wouldn't he anoint the church of the living God to do that kind of ministry? We're called the body of Christ? Absolutely, yes. But this kind, everybody say this kind, this genos, this type, this family of demons, they only come out by prayer and fasting. We're not on Facebook. Can I go ahead and say some stuff? Can I say it? I don't know what I'll say Sunday for sure, but let me say some stuff. Like the spirits that mess with our kids, try to get them to question their gender, their identity, who they really are, question their sexuality. Lord have mercy, I probably spent too much time on Sunday preparing for tonight, and so it's fresh in my brain, but I mean, there are churches that are changing the way they approach. Did you see that where the Methodist Church of England just took the terminology husband and wife out of the mouths of their ministry because it's offensive to some? It's presuming an offensive worldview that it offends people. Are you kidding me? So when I say that kind of stuff is coming after our children, like it's shocking to some of us, but to our children, it's not as shocking. I've talked to some of y'all, and you're like, yeah, well, my kid told me that their teacher's married to the same sex and their principal, and like it's just normal world, right? It's getting awful quiet in this Methodist church, right? That's wicked. That's evil. Prayer and fasting, my friends. We are not without help. We are not without an anointing. There is something powerful. Jesus said that just faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed would move a mountain. You couple that, that's the garden variety. Because he said, however, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So you take the garden variety mustard seed faith that moves mountains, and you couple it with prayer and fasting, you got something now. Jesus rebuked his disciples, you perverse generation, you faithless generation, what is wrong with you? How long do I have to deal with you? He rebuked them, and then he turned and rebuked the demon, and he said, come out of it. Didn't play, didn't mess. The disciples did all kind of tricks trying to get him out. You know, they were flowing in the tricks of the Spirit, right? Trying to get that demon to come out of that boy, and they could not get, and they were frustrated. And I'm not casting stones at them, like, where would we have been, you know? They were trying. Jesus is like, he's like, boys, you got to step it up a notch. And I hear the Holy Ghost saying to Bethesda, to those of us in this room, we got to step it up a notch. It's not church as normal. It's another day. It's a new day. It's a wicked day. It's a vile day. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. I want to be up to the challenge. I want to be up to what the enemy is doing so I can head him off at the pass. Not in my house. Imagine saying that. Same spirit. This house, this man's house had this spirit in it. This man would take his boy home, put him to bed at night. And the boy would get up and he would start shaking and he'd throw himself in the fireplace. Think of the disruption and the chaos and the lack of sleep and how depressing that would be, right? Trying to find some help for the boy. And it's demonic. And he's desperate. He wants to do something about it. What if he would be able to say, you ever done this? I know we have. What if he could symbolically, I know this is weird, but he could open the door to his house. He is saying, in Jesus' name, we've gone into every room. I take authority over every spirit. messing with my babies. I'm going to tell you something. Garden variety faith is successful at that a little bit. But you couple it with prayer and fasting. You open that door. We take authority. We take authority. We take authority. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Devil, you get out of our house in Jesus. Hey, it's on. It's not playing. I don't have to foam at the mouth. I don't have to shake and quake. In Jesus, you know, that Roman centurion, he said, hey, you don't even have to come to my house. You just speak the word. That's the kind of speak the word type faith. Your babies, let me just give you some help right now. Your babies start acting nuts, going crazy, doing stupid stuff, stuff you didn't raise them to do, doing stuff you didn't train them to do, that were raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You put the word in them. You brought them to church. You worshiped. You demonstrated. You showed. You prayed. You did communion at home. And your kids are acting a fool, acting nuts. This kind. You need to couple that with prayer and fasting. And you don't have to play. It's on. In Jesus' name. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm not saying they don't have a will and they can't do what they want to do, but I'm going to get the influence of that demon spirit off my kids in Jesus' name. I'm going to throw the paraphernalia away. You under my roof. You know, the video game that you're chatting with people all over the world and they're saying stupid stuff and they're brainwashing you and you're listening to it because you're vulnerable. You're being a fool. You're being whispered to and you're listening to the whisper. Hey, you don't have that video game anymore. Where'd it go? I threw it away. That was a $400 game system. It's in the trash now. It's worth it. In Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, me and Mama praying for you. We're believing that God's going to raise up a preacher in you and use you for His glory in Jesus' name. Sounds like we've been there, done that. We may have. We may have. But you have to do that kind of stuff. This kind. Jesus said, this kind. How come you decide? I know they've been around. I've seen their placards, you know, I've seen their posters. I saw them advertised on TV, you know. Come to the healing crusade with James and John, Andrew and Peter. I mean, they were going all over the place healing people. I saw them on TBN. Or it'd be the Oneness Broadcasting Network, you know. I saw them I saw their ministries. Why couldn't they do it? Jesus is like, you guys have got to step it up a notch. This is not a garden variety demon. It's a demon messing with a kid. The kid's at risk. The kid's in danger. This ain't about you. This ain't about you, Peter, and James, and John, and Andrew, Bartholomew. This ain't about you. This is about freeing that kid from that demon. And you want to go to McDonald's when that kid's at risk? And you are not going to spend time in prayer when that kid's at risk? And you call yourself a minister? Oh, my God, I'm preaching to myself right now. You hear what I'm saying? Ministry is serious business. It's not followers on a social media account. It's not even how many people we get in the chairs. It's what happens to the people in the chairs. Are they entertained or are they set free in Jesus' name? This needs to be a place of liberation for people. And thank God for mission recovery when we can't. I mean, we're going to get in process if we don't get that instantaneous. But by God, I believe in some instantaneous deliverances as well. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know what it's about. It's possible. Mountains can move. But this kind, it only comes out by prayer and fasting. I don't want to fast. I want to eat. But ironically, I want people to be set free. And you can't have both. You just can't do it. And if you you know, have a condition, you can't fast. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying, you do what you can. I struggle with this, and I'm closing here, but I struggle with this because I'm a finished work of Christ kind of guy in a massive way. This is a Christ-centered, Jesus-oriented church. What Jesus did was more than enough. But because of that, sometimes we just throw all the responsibility over there and say, well, Jesus did it all. When Jesus is saying, and because I did it all, if you're going to follow me, I need you to take up that cross. It's not so people can identify you as a Christian because you're carrying a cross. It was an era in Christianity where it was a big deal, like get you a big old wood cross, put a wheel on it, and drag it across the nation. There was a guy that came through and he had a wheel, and they put him on TV, and so he's like carrying that cross. And I thought, hey, if you really want to be cool, you got to get you a spinner on that wheel, you know. Get like LED light. He's carrying that cross. That's not what he's talking about. It's not to show people that you're a Christian. It's something you're doing very often in secret. They don't know. You don't go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and say, I'm not eating today. I just wanted you to know. Can we help you? Do you want anything? No. I'm fasting. Just want to let you know. You're not carrying your cross that way. It's something you do in secret. You're not eating. You're just not eating. You're spending time in prayer. You're honing your sensitivity. You're sharpening, filing your tools. You're getting ready. You're readying your armor and your warfare and your weapons. You're getting sensitive. You're killing your lion and your bear when no one's watching. And then when your Goliath shows up, you're ready. People are like, wow, he's powerful. Well, because of where you've been and how you've walked, you know you're not powerful. You just know you've become dependent on the one that is. Fasting and prayer makes you dependent. It's a declaration of dependence, not independence. It's a declaration of dependence. I'm dependent on someone other than myself.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.